Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by his name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
There's a lot of talk about revival today. We're waiting for a grand outpouring of glory and power so that the church will rise up and take its rightful place in society. But I'll tell you something shocking. When real revival comes, very few people will be interested. In fact, real revival is just about as contrary to our natural inclinations and desires as possible. I hear people cry for revival all the time, and I think, if God sent real revival, it's the last thing you'd want. Why would revival be repulsive to us? Why wouldn't we want revival? Well, that's a good question. Find out right here on Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. We've been getting back to basics here on Skies Revival Radio, and that's an important thing to do. Revival is what we need, and a call to return to the ancient paths where the good way is, as Jeremiah said. Jesus said, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. But because we are in the world over a period of time, we tend to become of the world as well. We start to assimilate the values of the world. We forget that we are seeking another kingdom, a city not made by human hands, whose architect and builder is God. We start to adopt the priorities of the world, and the things of the world start to become all important to us. We get caught up in the pleasures of the world, and the pleasures of God begin to get dim and far away. We become distracted and off course, blown away by our passions and desires. This may not be our intention, but it is the general course we fall in after being a Christian for a number of years, and our first love begins to get cold. And that is when God sends his agency of revival to get people back on the straight and narrow road that leads to life, to remind people that this world is not our home, to remind them of 1 Peter 2:24, which says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. To get people back to the power of the gospel, the power of the gospel to change lives. And that's why I'm here today, and that's why we broadcast Skies Revival Radio, to bring about God's instrument of revival, to call his people to wake up, wash their clothes, and be ready to meet the Lord. We will never be ready to meet the Lord if we are full of the love of the world and the love of the things of the world. We need to get out of the world and get the world out of us. This is what Jesus meant when he said in Revelation, those who wash their robes will be given to eat of the tree of life. God doesn't want us to stink like the world. He doesn't want us covered with the filthy stench of the world. Do you know what is filthy to the Lord? All the vile images and the coarse, vulgar language that fills up our media. This has become our entertainment, and it has no place in the life of a Christian. We are told in Philippians chapter 2 that we are to be blameless, innocent children of God in the midst of this perverse generation. We have so much talk of grace and God's love today that we have come to believe that somehow God is soft on sin. The reasoning goes that if we're saved by grace alone, then what does it matter how I live? Well, it matters a lot to God. The salvation he gives us by pure grace is a salvation that puts to death the sin in our lives. And that's what we're covering in our series called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. If you are following along in the book, we are finishing chapter 5 today. If you don't have a copy of the book, you can get one cheaply on Amazon, or you can download a PDF from our website, theskies.org. If you can't remember the website, just type in Sky Family. We'll come right up first thing. It's well worth getting a copy of this book, if for the cartoons and illustrations alone. Now let's head back into the study. This one verse in 1 Peter sums up the entire gospel. It says, He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. This is the true old-fashioned gospel that's not so popular today. It says, Jesus, by his death on the cross, took the full penalty of our sin. He died in our place. And for what reason? That we should be forgiven? Yes, absolutely. But much more than that, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So the real gospel calls us to be cleansed of our sin, to leave our sinful life behind, to leave our sinful pastimes behind. We are to be new creatures in Christ. The old things pass away and all things become new. The work of salvation is the glorious work of making us fit citizens for heaven. We are not fit for heaven if we are still full of the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. We are who we are. If you went into the presence of God right now, you would be exactly who you are right now. If your life is full of the love of the world, that is going to be a very awkward meeting. Now, if by the Spirit we are putting to death the deeds of the flesh, we shall live. If you have been humbled to see how sinful so many of your pastimes are, so many of your thoughts, if you are honest and you ask forgiveness, Jesus' blood totally covers you. You are washed clean, you are forgiven, and his mercy is on you. But if you ignore the call of the Holy Spirit to be cleansed from the love of the world and the deeds of the flesh, you will find yourself naked and ashamed and without excuse. So how do we deal with this situation? Well, the last part of 1 Peter 2:24 says it all. It says, By his wounds you are healed. It is by faith in the wondrous mercy of God that we are healed of our sins, healed and cleansed. So first we come to him, as we described in the last two messages. We come to him in humility. We admit that we need a Savior, that we can't get away from our sins. We ask him to forgive us and cleanse us from our sins. And then it says in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and merciful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all of our sins. Notice that there is two parts to that verse. The first is we are forgiven, and the second is that we are cleansed from our sins, meaning the sin is cleaned out of us. Then, if we haven't been baptized, then if we have not been baptized yet, we will want to be baptized as an outward sign of our new life in Christ. If you don't have a home church, find a good Bible-believing church and ask the pastor if he would baptize you. After you receive Jesus as your own Savior, now it is time to begin the journey of putting to death the deeds of sin. And this is a part that many Christians today overlook, but God will not overlook it. Sin has the power to kill us, so he wants it out of our lives. So if you go through the motions of becoming a Christian, but you still keep living the way you always did, there is no evidence that you really came to Christ. The evidence that you have been truly born again is that you will begin to display a transformed life. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." What are the deeds of the body? It's your sinful entertainment, your sinful pastimes, your sinful thoughts, your sinful actions, your unruly mouth, your unruly thoughts. All of these things make up the deeds of the flesh or the deeds of the body. And these are the things that need to be put to death. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So our mind is to be renewed. We are to be thinking about the things of God, and then we are to be conformed to the Word of God instead of our old lifestyle. Instead of looking and smelling just like the world, we are to be conformed to our new life in Christ. The Gospel of John 3:36 says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Notice the emphasis, he says, on he who does not obey. So we are to come into an obedience to follow after the Lord with all of our heart. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from earthly lusts which wage war against your soul." That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? And that includes so many of our pastimes. You know, we try to justify the different things we do for our pleasure, the video games that we indulge in, the various movies that we indulge in, all these different things that stimulate our earthly lusts. And they're designed to do that. These video games and the movies and entertainment, they are designed to stimulate our earthly lusts. That's what they do. And those lusts wage war against your soul. It is not okay. It is not all right. It's not under the blood. It's not, "Oh, we're saved by grace. This is no big deal." No, it is a very big deal. Earthly lusts, which are stimulated by our media and our entertainment, actually wage war against your soul. So these are good things to remember. The little book of Colossians chapter 3, 5 through 8 says, "Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come, and in them you once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth." You see, we are to put away these evil desires, these lustful pastimes that we're involved in. These are part of the old life that needs to be put to death. We're to put them all aside. And then 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So the way of salvation may seem complicated at first, but it's actually very simple. In fact, we often make it more difficult than it really is. The way to approach God for the salvation of your soul is just this: talk to God. Go to him privately or with a friend and tell him that you would like to become his child. Tell God all your struggles. Openly confess your doubts. Ask him to show you that he's really there. You'll be surprised by what happens. Then confess your sins to him. Take your time and really get all of these burdens off of your soul. Then ask Jesus to come into your heart and make it new. And guess what? He will. He will come into your life and you will experience a peace that you have never felt before. And if you have walked in the way of faith before and have fallen away and you come back to the Lord and you just lay down your burdens and you confess your sins, he will receive you back and he will restore the peace that you once had. When you address the sin that is in your life, instead of glossing over it, instead of saying, oh, well, I'm no worse than anybody else. That may be the truth, but it does not mean anything to God, nor does it bring you joy. When you come to the Lord in honesty and humility and repentance and say, Lord, please forgive me for all of my sins. Please help me to overcome them. You will find that you are surrounded by the peace of God and the joy of God and the love of God. And now it is time to begin to exercise your faith. The Bible says to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. Begin to thank God for your new life with him. Begin to thank him that he loves you, that he has heard your prayers. Thank him that he has forgiven all your sins. This is faith. This is faith in action. This is how you take hold of his hand so that he can pull you out of the quicksand of death. You may or may not feel any different right at that moment, but God really has made you his child. When you pray, he is listening and he is accepting you. So keep rejoicing in him and soon you will be overwhelmed by the sweet presence of God. Here's an example of how to pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I freely confess all my sins to you. I'm tired of reaping the consequences of sin, and I'm going to die in my sin if you don't rescue me. Please forgive me for every wrong thing I have ever done and cleanse me from them. I need you, Lord, and pray that you will come to me and make your home in my heart. I give you my life. I pray that you would make me a new person. I thank you that you have said that anyone who comes to you, you will in no way cast out. I believe that you love me, and even now you have received me as your child. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for accepting me and making me your child this very day. I receive your Holy Spirit to make me a good, obedient child. Amen. If you pray along those lines, make up your own words, it doesn't matter. The Lord will hear you and he'll hear your heart. And there is one more point to be made while we are on the quicksand of death illustration. We could be sinking in the quicksand. Someone could be holding his arm right over us all day long and we could still drown in the quicksand. Why? Because we didn't take hold of his arm. Jesus is reaching his arm out to you personally right now, but you will still perish if you don't grab hold of his arm. When we do take hold, we begin to be rescued. And what does that mean? How do we grab hold of his arm? His arm being extended to us is grace. Us grabbing hold of it is faith. By grace you have been saved through faith. And what is faith? It is another word for belief. So if we believe God, we will be saved. But what are we supposed to believe? We are to believe the word of God. We have just listed many verses of the Bible concerning the issue of your salvation. While they remain words on the page, they'll have no effect on your soul. The words become alive and able to rescue you as you begin to believe them. Believing is our active participation in the process of being rescued. Believing God's word does not come naturally or easily to us. It requires work. Our minds are naturally inclined to doubt and to turn from the truth, so we must fight to believe that God's word to us is true. We should repeat his good promises out loud. We should begin to thank him for all the things his word promises. Thanking him is the single most effective way of demonstrating faith. Here's an example. You have heard all of the scripture verses that were just spoken and have prayed to him that he would forgive your sins and make you a new person in Christ. Immediately after, you find yourself doubting that anything happened, that you're just praying in the air. Your enemy, the devil, will do anything to stop you from growing close to Jesus, and doubt is his most effective weapon. But in fact, as you prayed, God did accept you and you were born again. Begin to thank God for your salvation. Begin to rejoice that his words are true. Treat it as a matter of fact that you are now a child of God. That active faith is your holding on to his outstretched arm of grace, which he has extended to you. If you continue to believe, you will be overwhelmed by God's blessing. God will reward your faith, and joy and peace will fill your heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please cause these words to come alive in many hearts, and Lord, may you lead us all in the way of salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and is available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they're supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
Abound.